Nếu như
globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
When we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half, we have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.
Dva milijona manj, dva milijona kam. Na zahodnem bregu reke Brahmaputra v kraju Matija v okrožju Goalpara indijske zvezne države Assam za 3 metre visokimi zidovi rdeče barve nastaja taborišče, v katerem bo predvidoma pridržanih 3000 ljudi. V taborišču, velikem za 7 nogometnih igrišč, bo prostor tudi za šolo in bolnišnico, ki bosta na voljo tako imenovanim ilegalnim imigrantom. To je prvi od 11 novih centrov za pridržanje, ki jih v zvezni državi Assam na skrajnem severovzhodu Indije načrtujejo oblasti. V njih naj bi do vrnitve v državo izvora, kar je po prepričanju indijske vlade Bangladeš, bili nastanjeni prebivalci Assama, ki ne bodo uspeli dokazati, da njihove korenine v zvezni državi segajo vsaj do 24. marca 1971. Dan po tem datumu se je začela bangladeška osvobodilna vojna, v kateri si je Bangladeš, takrat še vzhodni Pakistan, s pomočjo Indije izboril neodvisnost. Družine, ki so na indijsko stran meje zbežale po začetku vojne, po arbitrarni definiciji nimajo pravice do vpisa v nacionalni register državljanov Assama. Trenutno je takih prebivalcev Assama, ki jim grozi, da v nacionalni register ne bodo vpisani, skoraj 2 milijona. Ker z Bangladešem Indija nima sklenjenega nikakršnega sporazuma o vračanju domnevno ilegalnih migrantov, 2 milijonoma ljudi tako hkrati grozi, da bodo ostali brez lastne države. Sedaj imajo 4 mesece časa za pritožbe na tribunale za tujce, ki delujejo v okviru notranjega ministrstva. Po razsodbi Vrhovnega sodišča, ki je leta 2013 zvezni in lokalni vladi naročilo posodobitev nacionalnega registra državljanov Assama, so morali tribunali presoditi v več kot 33 milijonih primerov. Najprej so iz registra izpadli 4 milijoni ljudi. Polovica jih je medtem uspela zadostiti zahtevam za vpis v register, zato je pričakovati, da se bo število izpuščenih še znižalo. Nacionalni register državljanov v Indiji ni nekaj običajnega, temveč je Assam edina zvezna država, ki se je v 50-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja odločila, da bo na podlagi cenzusa iz leta 1951 na ta način registrirala prebivalstvo. Več pove Sanjib Barua, profesor političnih ved z New Yorkskega Bard College.
Precisely because migration after partition from East Pakistan has been so different. If you look at Indian citizenship laws, you'll find there is one clause called 6A, which makes an exception to Assam. Right? Meaning, Assam has been dealing with this problem of migration from East Pakistan right from 1950. So immediately after, so why is it that? Even Indians don't understand that. What is very funny is this, what is this National Register of Citizens? Why should it have been in one state? Right? It's most peculiar. The answer is, in dealing with this thing of migration, in the 1951 census, imagine, long time ago, is the only place where they decided to have a register of citizens. I don't think any court should really recognize it as a legitimate document in terms of it was clearly when there was census, right? So 51 census, when people collected data on population, they were extremely aware that all kinds of people are living in Assam. They don't have a home, As a result, right since 51, they had this thing called the National Register of Citizens. But it was never updated.
Register je torej nastal kmalu po umiku britanskega imperija z indijske podceline v času formiranja Republike Indije. Medtem ko britanskih upravljavcev preseljevanje na območja Asama, kjer so imigranti delali na plantažah čaja, seveda ni motilo, je indijska zvezna vlada že leta 1950 sprejela imigrantski zakon, ki je dovoljeval izgon tujcev iz Asama. Vendar v času vlade Jawaharlala Nehruja, ki je hotela vzpostaviti podobo sekularne Indije, Indije za vse, množične deportacije ali podobni ukrepi niso prišli v poštev. Večinoma hindujsko lokalno prebivalstvo je priseljevanju iz tedaj vzhodnega Pakistana nasprotovalo že takrat. Konec 70-ih in v prvi polovici 80-ih let pa je na krilih študentske organizacije All Assam Students Union organiziralo množične proteste proti, kot so trdili, ilegalnem priseljevanju iz Bangladeša. Leta 1985 je tako zvezna vlada, ki jo je takrat že vodil Rajiv Gandhi, a protestantski s protestniki podpisala Asamski sporazum, v katerem je zapisala, da bodo, citiramo, tujci, ki so prišli v Asam 25. marca 1971 ali po njem, še naprej detektirani in izbrisani, ter da bodo sprejeti praktični ukrepi za izključitev takih tujcev.
In the frontier area, people opposed to migration is so old. This conflict has been there almost 100 years, right? So that, and that movement became almost so powerful. Not surprising why it became important in 79. Bangladesh became important in independence in 71. So you'll find almost all the discussion of NRC, there's always 71. And 71 is a reference to Bangladesh. Nothing to do with Assam. Because a huge amount of migration happened, which everybody knows, the refugee crisis was enormous when the Bangladesh Liberation War was going on. So that meant that in elections in 75, that period in Assam, suddenly you have a huge rise in number of people voting, right? And that led to such a backlash that this powerful social movement, it has problems with it, but I have to call it a movement because almost so many people supported it enough that all kind of elected governments had to resign, right? 6 years, not a minor matter, right? So that movement was certainly, you know, the students were involved, it was seen as a civil society movement.
Skratka, praktični ukrepi za množično izključitev tujcev so morali počakati na neko drugo dobo Indije. Na dobo, v katerih je Vrhovno sodišče leta 2014 v odgovor na peticijo podjetja Assam Public Works prvič po letu 1951 naročilo posodobitev registra državljanov. In Vrhovno sodišče je to storilo tako, da je pri tem citiralo C.S. Mullana, britanskega nadzornika cenzusa Indije iz leta 1931, ki je zapisal v prostem prevodu. Verjetno najpomembnejši dogodek v provinci v zadnjih 25 letih, dogodek, ki bo vrh tega verjetno permanentno spremenil celotno podobo Asama in uničil celotno strukturo asamske kulture in civilizacije, je bila invazija ogromne horde zemljelačnih imigrantov, večinoma muslimanov z območij vzhodnega Bengala. Po tem citatu nas verjetno ne more čuditi, da je Vrhovno sodišče ob sklicevanju na zakon o državljanstvu, v določbah katerega je vsebovan tudi asamski dogovor iz leta 1985, zvezni vladi in vladi Asama naročilo detekcijo in izgon vseh ilegalnih migrantov, ki so v Asam prišli po 25. marcu 1971. Osrednji kriterij, na podlagi katerega so prebivalci vpisani v novi register državljanov Asama, je postalo dokazovanje tega, da so posameznik ali njegovi predniki tam živeli pred pričetkom bangladeške osvobodilne vojne. Tako so tribunali za tujce prišli do trenutnega števila 2 milijonov ljudi, ki naj bi jih vlada deportirala. Ni jasno, kam bodo deportirani in ali sploh bodo. Sogovorniki menijo, da ne bodo deportirani v Bangladeš. Obe državi se strinjata, da je to notranja zadeva Indije. Morda bodo pridržani v taboriščih, dejstvo pa je, da je odločitev o tem v rokah vladajoče hinduske nacionalistične stranke Bharatiya Janata Party, krajše BJP. Ta se je po majskih volitvah na zvezdni ravni še dodatno okrepila in ima v spodnjem domu parlamenta skupaj s koalicijo skoraj 4/5 vseh sedežev. Prav tako pa od lokalnih volitev 2016 vodi tudi koalicijo v vladi države Assam. Vodja lokalne vlade je Sarbananda Sonowal, ki je bil v 90-ih letih predsednik preomenjene študentske organizacije All Assam Students Union. Notranji minister zvezdne vlade in desna roka premijeja Narendra Modija Amit Shah že obljublja, da ne bo niti enemu ilegalnemu migrantu dovolil ostati v Assamu. V začetku leta pa se je, nanašajoč se na bangladeške migrante, proslavil z izjavo, da mora Indija delovati proti vsiljivcem, ki jejo deželo kot termiti. Vendar Shah predpostavlja, da so vsiljivci le muslimanski, ne pa tudi hindujski migranti. Kot ocenjuje Barua, pa je izven registra državljanov Assama sedaj ostalo približno toliko hindujcev kot muslimanov, saj se tribunali za tujce pri odločanju ne odločajo na podlagi vere posameznika.
Amit Shah's rhetoric, awful rhetoric about infiltrators does that. All along it assumed that all people who NRC will find as kind of not non-citizens will all be Muslims. It's very likely half of them are Hindus, right? Because as I explained to you, the partition, people kept coming, right? After all, so somebody came in 50, somebody came in 55, and clearly only Hindus came more than Muslims. So all these are really partition issues. I mean, so that I don't want to underestimate the tensions. You have an NRC which says these many millions of people are non-citizens. At another level, when it comes to the India's diplomatic priorities, India is not willing to really alienate Bangladesh. As a result, India is saying, we're not going to deport anybody. So it is not a great situation, because clearly what it means then, it seems to me that suddenly you might have a whole bunch of people who will be in the country, but their citizenship will be more precarious.
Ideologija hindutve, ki uokvirja mentalno schemo stranke BJP in njene materinske organizacije, Raštrija Svajam Sevak Sang hindujskega imigranta v Indijo razume kot povratnika domov, v sveto deželo. Musliman pa je po drugi strani prvi sovražnik hindujca. Zato BJP spreminja lokalni diskurs v Assamu, pove Nisim Manatukaren z kanadske univerze Dalhousie.
So initially, the Assam movement in the 1970s and early 80s was against all foreigners. But RSS and Hindu organizations have managed to change the narrative of not only all against all foreigners, the initial movement was not against foreigners, and also even people from outside Assam who have come and settled down in Assam and so on, Indians. But BJP has and RSS have changed this narrative to a Muslim versus Hindu one. That is the fundamental shift that has happened. So the processes have been in place for a long time, and politics around this has been happening for a long time. And the Supreme Court had constituted this to identify foreigners in Assam, not because of Modi. But what I'm trying to say is that they are giving a religious color to this whole process. So for example, after this process completed recently and they identified nearly 2 million people, they actually came to know through the process that a substantial number of these 2 million identified as foreigners are Hindus from Bangladesh, right? So now the BJP is caught in a dilemma. They wanted to expel foreigners, but now they don't want to expel the Hindus, right? Because they want to give asylum to Hindus and other minorities, but not Muslims. The entire process of finding and identifying foreign illegal immigrants is done on the basis of religion. They are arguing that Muslim foreigners will be thrown out, but they are willing to give asylum and refugee status to Christians, Sikhs, and other religions. So it is entirely made on the basis of religion. So if you want to identify and expel foreigners, then you might want to expel all the foreigners, but they don't want to do that. they want to expel and identify and expel only Muslim foreigners from Bangladesh.
Januarja letos je spodnji dom Indijskega zveznega parlamenta že sprejel spremembo zakona o državljanstvu, ki bi dovolila podeljevanje državljanstva migrantom iz Pakistana, Bangladeša in Afganistana, a le če te ne bi bili muslimani. Na severovzhodu Indije je predlog zakona naletel na velik odpor. V Assamu so protestniki med drugim požgali pisarne stranke BJP. Tudi stranke, ki so v regionalnih vladah severovzhodnih zveznih držav Assam, Meghalaya, Nagaland in Mizoram v koaliciji stranko BJP, so v primeru sprejetja zakona zagrozile z izstopi iz koalicij. V zgornjem domu zveznega parlamenta zakon na to pred volitvami ni bil sprejet. Po mnenju Baruaha se BJP v novem mandatu spremembi zakona o državljanstvu vseeno ne bo zlahka odpovedala.
You know, think of Assam as a, I use it with a settlement frontier. Think of India as a country with a huge population. Next to India, this region with very little population. You know, as after all, Assam is next to Burma, as you know. Burma has lots of mountain areas, hill areas with very little population, right? So Assam essentially is, or Assam and the rest of the area that we call North East India, is, think of it as South Asia's last frontier. You know, relatively empty land, and people moving. They're not moving only from Bangladesh, they're moving from other parts of India as well. As a result, the migration story in Assam is as old as you can imagine. Right? At least began a huge issue in 1920s. Right? So, but the rest of India doesn't know all of that. So the fact that the issue has become very useful to the BJP and the Hindu nationalists, a fact that they try to give a particular meaning to it, right? Meaning, as I said, legally speaking, there is no reason why Indian law doesn't distinguish between a Hindu person who crosses the border and a Muslim person who crosses the border, right? But certainly, BJP will try to change this, by the way. BJP has a citizenship amendment bill, which was, they tried to pass it in 2016. Seeing the opposition in Assam, they withdrew it. That amendment made essentially says any person who is persecuted on religious grounds in Afghanistan, Pakistan, number of countries will really entitle to refugee status. But when you look at the list, it doesn't include Muslims. So only way to read that is that it basically is a what the BJP sees as the unfinished business of the partition, that Hindus should be allowed to come here. So, and that is enormously opposed in Assam, which is why they withdrew it. Now, the majority is so big, they will certainly try to pass it. Right now, say, this whole 1.9 million people, let's assume at least half of them are Hindus, right? So, in a way, that BJP doesn't like. So, BJP will probably try to pass the citizenship amendment bill, right? Then, that will probably take care of at least half of the people who are now excluded, right? Because they're Hindus. Then becomes my real worry, right? Then the whole kind of cleavage, Hindu-Muslim cleavage becomes very sharp, right? Will it be acceptable to people in Assam? Too early to say. As I said, you know, even though people vote for BJP, it doesn't mean that, you know, after all, as recently as less than a year ago, there's powerful movement against the citizenship amendment bill.
Kot razlaga Nitasha Kaul, pisateljica in predavateljica na Univerzi Westminster, je sodelovanje z lokalnimi vladami in prilagajanje svojega diskursa lokalnim sentimentom eden od razlogov za velik vpliv stranke BJP, tudi v delih Indije, do katerih roka centralne vlade običajno ne seže tako zlahka. BJP je v kar dveh tretjinah zveznih držav in teritorijev vladajoča stranka.
If you see the case of Assam, for example, or what has recently happened in Kashmir with the revocation of the autonomy, amongst other things, part of that political strategy is also a very successful combining of resentments in order to create political profit for the BJP. So, for example, in the Assam case, what has happened is that the human tragedy of these 1.9 million people who could be rendered stateless, because, you know, there is currently an appeals process, but 6 months, they have to be decided within 6 months. 1.9 million people, they have 120 days to appeal. And the people who will likely not have their documents going back decades will likely be the already most marginalized and vulnerable people. But how that project has been made possible is by combining the regional differences there in Assam and the regional anti-immigrantism, which has to do with a longer history of movements there that have seen mainstream India as a colonial presence there. So those, they have used that moment in order to enact this kind of legislation, which of course on the surface is a technocratic, bureaucratic thing. All we want to do is verify citizenships. But the question is, who does it disproportionately impact and who will be the ones who will be least likely to be able to appeal or to be able to get their case, heard?
Čeprav za zdaj ni jasno, kako dosledno se bo BJP pri ravnanju s tistimi, ki bodo v Assamu ostali brez državljanstva, držala svojih hindujskih načel in kako nasilna bo pri tem, je Amit Shah že povedal, da bi morali nacionalne registre državljanov uvesti povsod po Indiji, da bi se znebili vsiljivcev.
What they're doing there in Assam, I mean, it's a laboratory. These kinds of things are laboratories of colonization, fascisms, where things get enacted and then they get replicated elsewhere. After the Assam thing, there were BJP leaders in other parts of India saying, we should have this here too.
Nedavno je BJP na primeru Kašmirja že pokazala, da tudi spremembe ustave niso zafecljana politična dejavnost, ki bi potrebovala razpravo državljanov, ki jih te spremembe zadevajo, in še manj njihovo tiho privolitev. Zvezdni državi Džamu in Kašmir je, kot smo poročali, pred dobrim mesecem dni spremembo ustave indijski parlament odzel avtonomijo in jo z ločenim zakonom razdelil na dva zvezdna teritorija, protestnike v Kašmirju pa oborožena policija vsakodnevno tušira solzivcem in obstreljuje s plastičnimi naboji.
Things that they are doing in Kashmir and Assam and elsewhere, they're signaling mechanisms. They're really powerful in the message that they send out to people about where the lines are and the way in which the constitution, as you know, for example, we saw that in the case of Kashmir, the way in which even the constitution will not stand in the way and can be amended overnight under the shadow of a gun should the need arise.
Za BJP obračun hindujske Indije z muslimani ne predstavlja le sredstva, ampak hkrati tudi cilj, razlaga Mana Tukaren. Z drugimi besedami to pomeni, da je hindutva nekaj totalnega in ne pomeni zgolj praznega govoričenja za nabiranje volilnih glasov, temveč na političnem področju pomeni dejansko podreditev vseh večinskemu telesu nacije.
BJP was able to make it a weapon, bringing in religious issues as the fundamental cleavage in society. Although Indian subcontinent was partitioned in the name of religion in 1947, religious issues did not come to the fore until the last two decades, when the BJP brought the religious issue as the main political cleavage in society, starting with the movement for building a Hindu temple in Ayodhya in North India, which is supposedly the birthplace of the Hindu god Lord Ram. So what has happened in the last 30 years is the fact that BJP has been able to weaponize this religious sentiment, to make it as a weapon and use it for political purposes and change the orientation of Indian society from one based on different divisions of caste to making it as a Hindu versus Muslim issue, in which all the lower castes and other backward castes within Hindu religion are supposed to unite behind the Hindus against the Muslims. So they changed the orientation of the social structure in terms of making it a political issue between Hindus and Muslims. So targeting the Muslims is the fundamental political goal of the Hindutva national movement of the present. And substantial number of people have bought into this narrative of that it is a narrative of Hindus versus Muslims rather than of secular issues or the immense caste discrimination that is existing in society.
Čeprav je bila Indija ustanovljena kot sekularna republika, je njena osamosvojitev utemeljena na hinduizmu.
The entire partition was a result of these divisions. The origin of Hindutva movement, Hindu nationalism, happened in the 1920s, and the father of Hindu nationalism, V.D. Savarkar, who Modi, for example, considers as a guru or a, you know, worships as you know, political as a political guru, you know, founded this ideology on the basis of, you know, Hindus has a as a separate nation, right? And all the other early founding and early members of the RSS, for example, have emphasized this fact that India is the homeland of the Hindus, and it is also the religious holy land of the Hindus, whereas Muslims and Christians, although they live in India, their religious holy lands are not in India. They are somewhere else. So they are not necessarily equal to the Hindus who are native to India, and all their religious places and holy lands are within India. So this division was always there. It is just that they did not have political power, because the Congress Party was the unquestioned leader of the Indian national movement, far bigger than any other for political formation fighting for India's independence, like the communists and socialists and so on. And so that, because of that legacy of fighting for India's independence, Congress Party ruled for so many years after independence. So Hindu nationalism is always built on vilification of the minority, especially the Muslim, and on a dichotomy between Hindus and other religions. You know that Hindu nationalist organization person was the assassin of Gandhi in 1948, right? And so they took a long time to take, you know, to get rid of that taint that being associated with the assassin of Mahatma Gandhi, the father of the nation. The Hindu nationalist organization's record in fighting the British imperialism is also very, very poor, because they collaborated with the British in 1942. Because they always thought that Muslims and Christians are the bigger enemies, not the British colonizers. But what has happened in the last couple of decades is that they've changed that history. They've managed to change that history of collaboration with the British into showing that they are the real nationalists and not the Congress people.
V prvi dobi Indije je tako prevladal koncept deklarativno-sekularne republike s prisotnimi elementi hinduizma, medtem ko je v drugi Indiji BJP uspela na površje privleči prej skrite tokove.
Always there is an attention between one notion of India, which maybe is whatever is historical India, including Muslims and Christianity, all of that is part of this nation Indians are trying to create. The other one is that Hindus and Muslims are separate nations. Clearly, Pakistan, as you know, was based on the second idea, but people tend to underestimate how India, too, the idea that it is really mainly about Hindus being a nation, has been part of the anti-colonial protest, if you like, right? So what you are seeing then, even if you look at the politics of the last, say, since independence, 47 onwards, you always have a tension between these two. Yes, 50s, 60s, the period of Nehru, the more secular, the more kind of a inclusive idea of India was more dominant. But the point is, this kind of the other idea of India and which BJP represents, so in terms of the ideology, I would say I probably would like to call it majoritarianism. Clearly, democracy is not about majoritarianism. Democracy is about rights of minorities, etc., etc.
Če je prvo dobo predstavljala stranka Indijski nacionalni kongres, dominantna vse od osamosvojitve, drugo predstavlja BJP.
Yeah, so the immediate reason obviously is the fact that the Congress party and all other opposition parties are degenerating because of the fact that many of them have been in power for such a long time. So the biggest negative factor in terms of the Congress Party is the fact that they have been in power for such a long time in India, governing for a large portion of its time, of India's time from 1947. So one of the major disadvantages is that the people wanted to experiment with something new, some new party, new political formation. And BJP is comparatively new. It was only formed in 1980, and it was never in power until 1998. And it only ruled for 6 years. And because of the anti-incumbency factor against the Congress party for 10 years, because it ruled from 2004 to 2014. So that was the immediate reason why it was thrown out, because of the fact that people were already fed up with the Congress regime. Also because of the huge number of scams reported in the media, financial and economic scams reported in the media between 2009 and 14, led to a disenchantment of the people with the Congress party. The other reason for the Congress party's disenchantment with the people, the people's disenchantment with the Congress party is the fact that increasingly BJP tried to portray it as a dynastic party, in which only the Gandhi family people are supposed to be leading it and having the chance to become the Prime Minister of India. So in a situation when the party's popularity levels are low, the dynasty factor played against it. And there is no other comparable large party in India of the size of the Congress party. And because of a very weak opposition, the BJP quickly moved into that space. And in the last 5 years, by moving into that space, it has completely now captured that space to make it an issue of nationalism, Hindu nationalism, and based on religion and divisions based on religiosity and targeting the Muslims. So the weakness of the opposition parties to counter it has led to a situation in which BJP capturing the space and also making that space completely communal and based on religion and politics based on religion. And the personal popularity of Modi has led it to further capturing or making this space completely its own, reinforcing its power. When the Congress was its most powerful, say in the 1970s, I do not know whether you know about this, that there was a period of 2 years in which the Indira Gandhi regime imposed internal emergency in India. Yeah, which means that, you know, democracy was suspended unprecedentedly for 2 years, and all democratic rights were taken away, and opposition party leaders were, you know, put in jail. And that was a brief period of 2 years, but it did happen. And after that, there have been no such attempts to tamper with the democracy in a formal manner. But the Congress party, when it was at its most powerful, did indulge in bringing down opposition-led governments, imposing governor's rule, that is, appointing its own, you know, people as the governors of provinces to control their politics and so on. Yes, they have indulged in this kind of things. The emergency move by Indira Gandhi did not have wide-scale support of the people. The people did not support that move. And that was seen in the fact that Indira Gandhi lost the elections immediately after emergency was revoked. What is different now is that Modi or the BJP government's authoritarian or dictatorial measures have huge popular support. So the subversion of democracy now, whether it is in Kashmir or whether it is in Assam, for instance, has huge popular support. The majority of the people support the subversion of such democratic procedures. So the big difference between the Congress emergency in 1975 and what's happening under Modi in the last 5 years is this, that there is huge popular support. And this popular support is on the basis of Hindu nationalism or nationalism. So the fundamental distinction between Congress regime and the BJP regime is that Congress could not seek votes in the name of religion because it is officially secular. It is the party that fought for India's freedom on the basis of the equality and the unity of Hindus, Muslims, and other religions in India. So they could not seek votes in the name of Hindus. They could not seek votes in the name of the majority community, even though they might have made pragmatic adjustments for getting the votes of the Hindus and so on. The biggest difference is that now the ruling party of India is explicitly governing and is not afraid to say so, that it is ruling in the interests of the Hindu majority. despite the fact that constitutionally India is a secular country and religion cannot be the basis of ruling or governing India.
Nitasha Kaul prepoznava dve obdobji v vzponu stranke BJP.
So the early 90s was one. The BJP was a party that in the early 80s won only two seats out of 500 plus in the Indian parliament. By the early 90s, it had become a force to reckon with. So there are various reasons for why that happened. There is, of course, a lot of on-the-ground work done by the RSS and its affiliates to transform the root and branch of the country. But also in the early 90s, there were the spectacular events of the Rath Yatras, these religious processions, political religious processions that were carried out by the BJP leaders of the time. And also this was the time of the Babri Masjid demolition, which was a historic dispute, the Ram Temple dispute, which was a key moment, and the liberalization of the Indian economy. So all of these things happen at the same time and the BJP gains prominence. This was the sort of the first phase of the rise of the BJP. Post 2014, with the rise of Modi, even that, what was seen as right-wing then, almost seems moderate to people now. So that is the slide that we have seen after 2014. And of course, the elections this year mark a further acceleration of that transformation.
Velik vpliv na stranko BJP ima Raštrija Svajamsevak Sang oziroma RSS, ki je že od svojih začetkov v 20-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja pod vplivom hindutve.
RSS and other Hindu organizations provide the ideological and cultural backing for the political regime. So they work in tandem. So they work in unison, right? So they are not isolated entities. They are working as a unit. So for example, RSS is very, very influential. The head of RSS is considered among the top three powerful persons in India. The appointment of ministers is influenced by RSS leadership. So RSS suggests who are the leaders who should be made ministers. The one case, there have been many cases, and so this is one direct influence, although this is not documented, but this has been reported extensively in media reports if you study them. The second influence is in controlling the pedagogical system of the school's educational curriculum. So this is a major area where the RSS and other Hindu organizations exert influence. So there has been a change in the curriculum, or there has been a modification of the curriculum to suit Hindu nationalist ideologies and histories. And this is directly under the supervision of, for example, the RSS and other Hindu nationalist organizations. The other example of RSS influence is that Prime Minister Modi himself is an RSS activist, was an RSS activist until he became the Prime Minister. For example, the current President of the Indian Republic, the head of the state, is an RSS activist.
Kaj pa odnos med RSS, BJP in Narendra Modijem?
Modi has the popular mandate, right? Modi is the elected people's representative. And as the Prime Minister of India, he is the most powerful person in India. So RSS does not necessarily control him in a direct manner, because Modi's popularity is not just restricted to, RSS members. It is also the larger public, larger Hindu public, and also a few sections of the non-Hindu public. So you cannot say that he is controlled by the RSS, but the BJP government in India works under the guidance of the RSS, and it's a very strong guidance in which even day-to-day matters of governance are consulted with the RSS leadership.
RSS in BJP stremita po preobrazbi državnih institucij, kar je gotovo najbolj opazno na področju izobraževanja, a je princip povsod podoben.
As with any any transformation of a state through processes of nationalism, and in this case, majoritarian Hindutva nationalism, where the stated objective of RSS is that India should be a Hindu Rashtra, which means a Hindu nation. So they're using that nationalism to gain the consent and, you know, and sometimes where they need to suppress dissent to transform the institutions from within.
Južno hemisfero je pripravil Martin.
Radio študenta.